Good morning and welcome to another online Awaken sermon. There are storm clouds in the distance, and it is a sweltering hot summer afternoon right now. We're going to get through this, even if we have to dance through the rain clouds. Now today we are at the final week of our Lord's Prayer sermon series, take two. Today is week four of the series. What I want to look at this morning, I want to look at the last line of the Lord's Prayer. Because to me, this final request, this final line, it takes everywhere where we've been over the past couple of weeks. All the things that we've been praying for, the demands. Remember, the posture of this prayer, it's not kind of looking down at the ground, fumbling over your words. God, if you're able, if you have the time. This is a forceful, demanding prayer, a prayer in which Jesus teaches us to shake our fist, demanding for God to make something true. This last line takes all those demands, all those big, bold things that we've been praying for, wraps them all up, and then sends us off on our way. The way I see it is, as we've been praying this prayer, we've had a time of withdrawal, a time in which we've been communing with God. Now, as we pray this final line, we are ready to re-engage. We are being sent out into the world. You pray all of this, and then you are sent back into your life in order to do your part, to play your role. I mean, as we've seen in this prayer, there's a participatory nature to this prayer. We're asking for God to do that which only God can do. But then this prayer also requires us to be a particular way in the world. So let me show you what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Some translations will actually say, but deliver us from evil. There's two parts to this final line, this final request. And the two parts, they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. There's the lead us not into temptation part. And then there's the deliver us from evil or from the evil one. Now, at first glance, you might read this. Maybe you've said it at some point and you've thought to yourself, hold on a minute here. Why would I need to pray this prayer? Why would I need to pray for God not to lead me into temptation? Could God ever lead us into temptation? Is that even possible? What's the point of praying? Is God different than the God that's been described to me? So many, many people have asked this question before. And throughout history, there's been two ways in which people have predominantly understood what's being asked here in this prayer. I want to walk you through both those ways this morning. First way. Let's call this the as-we-go way. We have just prayed for some pretty big, bold things. Essentially, what we've been praying for the world to be made new. We've been acknowledging all the ways in which the world hasn't been working, all the ways in which the world and the systems within the world are unjust, or they've been oppressive, or they have kept certain people away. We've been praying for a particular type of world to be birthed, a world of justice, a world of grace, a world of mercy and forgiveness, a world of equality, a world where everyone has everything that they need in order to survive and thrive. When you pray this prayer, you're praying for all of this. You're also, as I said earlier, you're also praying for you to be a particular type of person in the world. Because the world we're praying for, God doesn't just snap his fingers and magically everything is transformed. it requires us to play a role in this as well. If we want a world that's filled with forgiveness and mercy, we must also be people of forgiveness and mercy. Creating the type of world, yes, there's certain things that only God can do. We're praying for God to change our hearts. I mean, at the heart of the prayer, that's what we're praying. God, change our hearts that we together would move this world forward in a particular direction. So we're praying for our hearts to be changed. And as our hearts are changed and transformed, we're becoming a certain type of people. Now, here's the catch. Here's the temptation part. Imagine that you've just prayed this prayer, which hopefully you have. Hopefully you've been more intentional about praying this prayer. This prayer has, you've kept it in front of you over the past couple of weeks as we've been walking through it. You've prayed that you would be able to forgive as others forgive you. Let me ask you this. Do you think at some point, as you go forward, as you re-engage the world, after you pray these words for you to be a forgiving person, do you think that you might be tempted to keep your heart cold? Even though you've prayed this prayer, do you think at some point in the future, as you go, you might be tempted to hold on to a grudge or to choose the path of unforgiveness instead of forgiveness? We can pray this prayer, and we should intentionally. We should be focusing on what we're praying for. We should be praying this prayer on a regular basis. The problem is, then life happens. You get burned. A good friend stabs you in the back, does something that you're just not sure if you have the strength to forgive them. You have these ideals, these desires, and you truly desire them and everything that you're praying for. But as we go in life, we're tempted to veer off course, to chart a different direction. Or think about one of the lines we looked at a couple weeks back. Give us today our daily bread. This prayer for daily reliance on God. And a prayer for us to go with a little less, to go with simply enough so that others can have enough. Do you think you'll ever be tempted to try to gain more, regardless of what it might cost another person? Do you think that's a temptation that we face in our lives? That instead of gathering our daily bread, we're tempted to gather our weekly, monthly, yearly, I mean, stretch it out as far as you want, bread? That's, man, for me, that's a temptation. Or even relying on God, relying on a strength, a power beyond yourself. Yeah, when things aren't going well, I'll find myself more on my knees, praying more. Isn't that how it works? When you get the call from the doctor, when you get the notice from your boss, there seems to be a lot more prayer that goes into those moments than the times when everything is moving along smoothly. We're tempted to forget our daily dependence on God. And what that does, it takes us away from a heart of gratitude. Daily dependence on God, it creates gratitude within us. When we're tempted to forget our bread, our life is a gift that's given to us, our hearts begin to grow cold towards gratitude. Or think about this idea. We've prayed for God's will to be done on earth. Have you ever been tempted to pursue your own will, regardless of whether it was God's will or not? Have you ever been tempted to pursue your own will, regardless of what it might cost others or the harm it might do to other people? But it's your will, it's your path, and so you've been tempted to walk that path without thinking of any of the other consequences. I mean, all the things that we've just prayed for, they're bold, they're honorable, They're what God desires for us and for the world. Deep within us, it's what we truly desire. But then as we go, we come across people, circumstances, situations in life that tempt us to walk in a different direction, that tempt us to forget all it is that we've just prayed for. I mean, think about the Lord's Prayer in general. I did this series because for me, I've seen that this prayer has become so familiar, it's actually become unfamiliar. And it's as if we say these words, we know the routine, we have these words memorized, but we don't think about the depth. We don't think about what it is that we're actually praying for. It's as if when Jesus taught this prayer 2,000 years ago, he knew that we would be tempted to forget. We would be tempted to turn this prayer into a routine, a mindless exercise that we do whenever someone prompts us with, say after me, our Father who, and then we go on with the rest of our lives, forgetting the richness that these words hold. What this final line is asking, what it's requesting, is that we would not be tempted to go in a different direction, but that whenever we do, that we would be delivered, we would be saved, rescued from that path. What we're asking for, we're saying, God, lead us down the path, the road that leads to goodness, to wholeness, to love, grace. Continue leading us down that path. Save us, deliver us from the path of evil, the path of the evil one. Now, here's how I would define evil or the evil one. I would define evil, the evil one, as anything that stands in opposition to God. Anything that breaks the wholeness, the harmony that God desires for us and for the world. Anyone else? You've, at some point in your life, you've needed to be saved from that path. You've been walking down a road, a path of destruction. And you've needed to be saved, delivered from that path. And you need to be reminded of the true path, the path which is true to who you know you've been created to be. So evil, the evil one, any power, any force, any system that stands in opposition to the type of world that God desires for this to be, and the type of people that God desires for us to be in our lives. Now, if we think back about the original audience, Jesus' original audience, when he first taught the Lord's Prayer, Jesus would have been speaking to a Jewish audience. And at this time in the first century, the Roman Empire, this global military superpower, had come in and had conquered the Jewish homeland. Jesus' Jewish audience was waiting for a Messiah. They were waiting for someone to come to kick out the Romans, to conquer them, to annihilate them, to remove them from the land, to remove the Roman kingdom in order to usher in God's kingdom. They desired God's kingdom to come in all of its power and its glory. I mean, some translations of the Lord's Prayer, they'll actually end, yours is the kingdom, power, and the glory. In other words, they're saying, the Roman Empire, even though we see its might, we see its power, its glory, we see the tangible expression of that kingdom, we know that your kingdom, God's kingdom, is the only lasting kingdom, the true kingdom, the kingdom that has true power and glory. So this audience, that's what they had wanted. When Jesus comes and he teaches about the nonviolent nature of God, not only teaches about it, but acts it out as well with his life, the nonviolent nature of God, the forgiveness of God. When Jesus teaches about prayer for your enemies, love for your enemies, at first, maybe his audience would have been like, all right, I can try this out for a while. I can get behind this, but when things didn't happen according to their plan, when things didn't move quick enough, when their timeline came and went, do you think they would have gotten a bit antsy? Do you think they would have started to give up hope a bit? I mean, think about this prayer. This is a prayer of hope. It's a prayer of, yes, this type of world that we're praying for, that we desire, it can happen. So we're going to keep praying for it and waiting for it. But the more you pray that prayer, and the more you don't see that prayer realized, the more you're going to be tempted to give up hope, to forget that way, and to pursue a different path, a path that opposes God's path. I mean, as the Romans kept pushing the boot down on the necks of the Jewish people, you think they would have been tempted to retaliate, to use violence, to not forgive? Yeah, so this final line, I mean, this is a powerful line. It's saying, hey, when times get hard, when we're tempted to go in our own strength, to take the human path, the path of evil, the path that basically just does to them what they've been doing to us, pick us up, save us, rescue us, and then place us back on the path that is true. I mean, what a way, I mean, this way of ending the prayer, brilliant. I love it. We all need those reminders, and we all need a divine power, a strength beyond ourselves, because sometimes we get caught up. We get in over our heads, and we need someone beyond ourselves to pick us up and to put us back on the right, the true path, because on our own, through our own strength, we become powerless. Or we get sucked into a vortex, and it's as if we can't escape on our own. So it's a plea. It's a cry for help. Whenever you see us floundering, save us. Rescue us. This is a prayer for something that only God can do. Now let's talk about us today in our own world. There's a lot going on in the world today, is there not? There's a lot happening. We find ourselves right now, currently, crying out for a new type of world to be birthed. A whole bunch of many systems of injustice, of oppression, they've been exposed for what they are: corrupt, oppressive, keeping people down. And we right now are crying out. We're praying. I mean, we're asking for the same things at the heart of the Lord's Prayer. We're asking right now for a world of justice. This world to be filled with justice, and for everyone to be heard. For everyone to have enough of the things that they need in life. And that's what we're praying for now. The problem is, or rather, not a problem, the question is, what will this new world that's being birthed be founded on? Will this new world simply be a replacement of the old? Will it be something that looks a bit different, but is really just a replica of what came before? Will this new world, will it be a world that's founded on grace, forgiveness, even forgiveness for our oppressors? Will it be a world founded on mercy, on love? Or will it simply be a repeat of what's come before? Will it be a world that's founded on unforgiveness, the holding of grudges, trying to get even, payback? You did this to me, I am going to do this to you. In fact, I'm not going to stop there. I am going to escalate things even more. There's a brilliant quote by Nietzsche. He says, "Beware that when fighting monsters, you yourself don't become one. Because that's the temptation, isn't it? Beware when fighting monsters that you yourself don't become one. Don't be consumed by hate. Don't be consumed by paying them back for what they did to you, but be overwhelmed with love, forgiveness, grace, because that's the only way that this type of world that we all desire is going to be formed. It's the only way we'll move forward into a world of greater wholeness and harmony. So the question for us, the same question that was being asked of these followers of Jesus when he taught this prayer 2,000 years ago. What will this new world be founded on? And then there's a second way in which this prayer, "Lead us not into temptation," has been understood. And again, it goes back to the, how could God possibly ever lead us into temptation? Why do we even need to pray that? Now, some scholars, what they'll say about what this line is actually saying, they'll say, it's praying against the temptation to use God's name to justify violence or systems of oppression. We've all seen that, have we not? Just take a look back in our history. Crusades, Salem witch trials, slavery, all sorts of systems, wars have been fought under the name of God. We humans like to form our campaigns, our wars. We like to divide things up, distinguish, to categorize, to say, we're God's people, they're not. And because they're not God's people, well, God must be on our side, but God's not on their side. We have used God's name. We've dragged it through the mud. I mean, this goes back to your name be made holy. We've dragged God's name through the mud too many times in history. We still do it today. This is a prayer against that temptation. God, may we never justify our harmful, destructive, evil behavior by using your name. May we not drag you into the mud with us. Abraham Lincoln, during the Civil War, he was asked once by someone, do you think you're on God's side, or do you think God's on your side in this? Here's how he replied. Here's what he said. Sir, my greatest concern is not that God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side. What if that was our greatest concern throughout life? What if that was our greatest concern whenever we formulated plans of action or foreign policy or how we were going to deal with other people who weren't like us, how we were going to view other people, rather than trying to get God to be on our side or to persuade God to be on our side, to pray God onto our side? Because, come on, that happens a lot. We make our plans and then we pray that God would be behind them. Rather than doing that, what if we were to ask and discern, what does it look like for me to be on God's side on this particular issue? It's like those bracelets. What would Jesus do? So simple, but profound, is it not? What would Jesus do? Pray for your enemies. Love those who persecute you. Really, really hard things to do. That's what being on God's side looks like. I love Abraham Lincoln's response. It gets to the center, to the heart of what this line in the prayer is asking. May we, God, may we always be on your side. May we not be living this life trying to persuade you to get on our side. Temptations, they're all around us. This is a prayer against the temptations that will lead us down a path that's in the complete opposite direction of all we've been praying for. God, save us from the evil, the harm that we can get ourselves wrapped up in. Save us from any force, power, system that threatens the goodness that you desire for us and for this world. As we close our time in the Lord's Prayer, I hope that you will never look at this prayer the same way again. I hope that this prayer wouldn't be some mindless, boring routine that you recite. But my prayer for you is that whenever you speak these words, "Our Father," that your mind would be triggered and you would be reminded of all that you're actually praying for with these words. May you see the richness of this prayer, the depth of this prayer, the boldness of this prayer. May you approach God, shaking your fist, demanding for this world to be a world of justice, a world where everyone has enough. May you demand that you would be a particular type of person who helps move this world forward in that direction. And whenever you find yourself tempted to veer off that path, may you cry out for God to rescue you, to save you, to deliver you from the destruction that that path may bring, and to bring you back to the true path that brings love, grace, mercy, compassion to your soul and to the world around us. God, may what is true of the divine realm be true of the earthly realm. Grace and peace to you this week, my friends.